You're blessed with a wonderful praise team who consistently offers leadership that we might worship in a place where we can come with humble hearts and minds that are ready to worship. Our scripture this morning comes to us from the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4. Verses 1 through 7. May the words that are said and read upon the screens, may they rest upon our hearts and minds, that we might hear it in a new way, and we might grow from hearing it. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Let us now bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Your children are listening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen. Today is World Communion Sunday. It's one of my favorite days of the church calendar. It combines two marvelous things of Christianity. First, the sacrament of Holy Communion, and second, the fellowship of all the believers of Christ, the family of God, brings them together. It's a moment for us to reflect upon what it means to be a part of this family. Being a part of the family of God is like being a part of any family. There are members that we would rather not talk about in our family, members that have done terrible things and horrible things in the name of that family. There have also been members of our family who have done wonderfully loving things, who have shown Christ through their actions and their sacrifices, who give our name strength. With any family comes the good, the bad, and the ugly. We work together. We work together as a community of faith. And as we reflect upon that relationship, it occurs to me that we have to go back and remember the vows that we shared when we came through in our baptism, that we would honor God and that we would uphold things in the church, such as giving of our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. Now, for prayer, that's the beginning and end in the faith of a Christian. Prayer surrounds every aspect of who we are as faithful people. Prayer is that connection and communication we have that we must strengthen and help build over time. I'm currently teaching a Wednesday night class on different spiritual practices, basically exploring different ways to pray. And what we're discovering is that prayer, having a strong connection with God, requires practice and consistency. So ask yourself this question: am I praying at least once a day? I think for many of us, sometimes we can raise excuses saying, well, I'm just swamped. It's too much going on. I can't find the time. And quite honestly, we need to start at the basics then. Because if we can't give a few moments of our day praying to God, strengthening that connection, then we have been wayward. We need to get back on the path, seek to strengthen that connection with God. And you know, sometimes we feel like we don't have anything to say when we pray. And in those cases, can we not pray the Lord's Prayer? And even sometimes when we don't feel like saying the Lord's Prayer, the Scriptures tell us that God can pray on behalf of us by the power of the Holy Spirit in moans and groans, by sitting quietly, reflecting upon God. That's an act of prayer. We need to strengthen and build up our prayer life so that we might be in shape to help build up the kingdom of God. Now we go on to presence. And this is one of those other things where we struggle with, because we have so many schedules. It's hard to decide, well, should I go to church? Should I, you know, give up myself and support my child who has a sport? The task is not easy, nor is it simple. It's hard to make time to be present and worshiping in the body. But it's critical for our faith development that we are consistent with our presence at church. And it's not just to build up your own Christian faith. Perhaps there is a person in the church that's going through a struggle you've been through before. But because you're absent, you don't have the opportunity to help share how you went through that struggle. You see, being a part of the body of Christ is about doing this together. We understand that we are so in need of God's grace, but we are so in need of each other to help give us support, help give us comfort, help give compassion to one another, keep each other accountable. So let us vow be more consistent with our presence. Even if there's a Razorback game on Saturday night. Even if there's that golf tournament that comes up. We need each other with this Christian journey. Now we go on to gifts. Now, oftentimes when we think of gifts, the first thought is, oh, you must be talking about money. Well, for me, that's not where I go first. Certainly, money is important to help finance the various ministries the church does, to help those in the community, help spread the message of Christ. But when I think of gifts, I think of the talents that each and every one of you possess. We are here as the body of Christ because we are stronger by working together. To help understand this better, we have to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul is talking about the Corinthian church. Now, the Corinthian church is in shambles. There are great divisions in this church. In fact, there are divisions of rich and poor in this church, where the rich come in and they gorge themselves on feasts and Holy Communion. And then when several other working people come in, everything's gone. We have to understand that being a part of the body of Christ is helping each other. And Paul illustrates that by using the metaphor that we are the body of Christ. Each of us is a significant part. And all those parts have to work together in a way. And when they do work together, they can be more proficient, and we're able to help build up the kingdom in a better way. Paul says, the ear cannot be like the eye. Foot cannot be like the hand. We have to realize and understand that we have to evaluate ourselves. We have to know our own strengths, our own weaknesses, what gifts we might possess, so that we can then use those gifts to help contribute to the life of the church, help pass on that message of Christ to those in need. So maybe you're a Christian and you've been one for a long time and you've figured out all the gifts you possess and you do those earnestly. That's wonderful. Maybe you're new. You don't really know what your gifts are. Take some time to discern where you feel warmed in your heart when you serve. Where are you eager to help? If you ever need help thinking about the various gifts you might possess, please come talk to me. I love to discuss what gifts people have and how we can get those into the church so that we can work together to help build God's kingdom. Finally, and then service. Now, service defines what it means to be a Christian. Humbling ourselves, giving ourselves to others that we might serve, because we serve in the name of Christ. And as Christ taught us, he came to serve, not to be served. He even went so far as getting on his knees and washing the disciples' feet. That is our history. That is our marker. And we use that, that we might extend the hand of compassion to those in need. We might humble ourselves to be in service to others. Because if we don't have a servant's heart, we need to really stop and pray and think about where God may take us next. Finally, witness. Now, witness, a couple of general conferences ago. Now, general conferences were lots of Methodists get together and they decide what's good and right and what they should do. And they decided to add witness to the line, prayers, presence, gifts, service. I think it's a wonderful addition because it reminds us that when we reflect on what it is to be a witness of Christ, it's basically two ideas. The first and primary for me is that we are witnesses to Christ's mighty acts of salvation. We are witnesses in faith of what Christ has done for us. Witnesses of what God's love can do in our lives. And because of that, we understand that Christ desires for us to change, to become like Christ. And so when others in our workplace, our school, and our families, when they see us, we are to be like an arrow pointing to Christ. That's our job. We're to be the witnesses, live it out in such a way that others go, oh, that's a Christian. It's not judgmental, not condemning, but loving action with compassion. And the other part of being a witness is that we share this message, certainly through our actions, but also through our words. In those moments of conversation when they come up, we talk about what it is in our life that gives us the passion with why we live this way. I don't believe I've told in this service about the community of Tizé. I have in the Divine Services. But the community of Tizé is located in France, and it is composed of 100 brothers, 50 Catholic, 50 Protestant. and they sing songs that are short phrases that are repeated over and over and over again, so that the song becomes like a prayer. And you sing it so much that you can do it just with your memory. Now, this community started way back in the 40s when Brother Roger, who created this community of Tizay, would help hide the Jews from the Nazis in these French countryside towns. Several years later, many other brothers came together and they decided to create a community of worship that would be centered around silence and this practice of vowing to one another as brothers and giving glory to God. And then young people started pouring into this community and watching these brothers worship. And as they began to watch, they began to sing. And now today, there are, like I said, 100 brothers a part of this, and thousands of people come every week and flood this worshiping place. And they sing and praise God together. I had the wonderful, humbling privilege to be able to go to this community in college. And it was one of the most peaceful places. Because when you go into the worship place, you see there the brothers are lined, and all the other young people in different ages are surrounding them. And there are people from different cultures, different languages. And so you will sing songs in English, Spanish, French, Italian, German, Russian. It's the first time I ever felt like I got a glimpse of what it will be like when all the fellowship of the Christians are gathered at that heavenly banquet and we sing songs, all in different languages, all giving praise to God as one body. The community of Tizay is also known as the Church of Reconciliation. These brothers go to different parts of the world and they help to bridge and reconcile different communities together. This, my friends, is a glimpse of what the kingdom of God is supposed to be about. Seeking forgiveness, seeking to worship God, and sharing Christ's love. And that, with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, is what we are called to do as Christians. We are called to be the hands and feet of Christ in our world to help build up this kingdom of God. And isn't it a humbling thing for God to desire that we, all of us, are a part of building this? God decided, I want the body of Christ to help build up the kingdom of God. Now, the Tizay community, they sing a song. The kingdom of God is justice and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. They get this from a scripture in the Bible. The kingdom of God is justice and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Come, Lord, and open in us the gates of your kingdom. Would you sing with me? The kingdom of God is justice and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Come, Lord, and open in us the gates of your kingdom. The body of Christ exists to build up that kingdom. It's a humbling We have to allow God to work in our hearts so that we might pray more. Pray more with our hearts in the depths of our souls, that we might be present in worship, to learn, to fellowship, that we might give of our gifts together to serve, that we might serve the world, that we might be witnesses to Christ, because we are. That's why we're here. And so we should do it, right? Let us do it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.